Ready, Freddie.
Let's call this meeting to order, Mr. Bronson.
All right.
You go ahead. I don't have an agenda, so we're gonna roll with it.
Well, the agenda says we're gonna do this budget workshop.
No, the absence of two people. Two humans. Two humans aren't here. No, as long as we get started, I'm good. Somebody text me they adjourned and I'll adjourn.
Let me give out my phone.
All right.
Jimmy's already started.
So we'll start today with the review of the utility fund, and then I threw in the capital projects fund primarily because all the money that's in our capital projects fund mostly, or most of the money in the capital project fund mostly funds utilities. I put that in there kind of at the last minute. Then we'll do the expenditure review of all your other funds at the March meeting, followed by revenue review, and then we will, I'll give you the staff proposed budget at the April 25th meeting. But I do take everything that I hear from you today, and we incorporate that as we continue to develop the budget. So. I won't spend a lot of time on these first five or six slides. I primarily like to give this to you for your review as you look back through where have we been and where are we going. The two notes on each one of these is it goes back to 2017. So from 2017 to 2022, those are audited numbers. That means those are the final numbers. And then 23, that's the budget number that we're operating under in this fiscal year. So I'm gonna kind of slow scroll through these. If you see anything that grabs your attention you wanna talk about, we can. I don't expect you're gonna see a whole lot different going from 22 to 23 to what we propose to you next. You will see that capital is showing up less and less in these divisional budgets, and that's because we've started using that capital projects fund. Any questions on any of those slides? I don't want to rush you, so take as much time as you'd like.
You already rushed.
No, sorry.
I don't have eyeglasses, but I'm trying to squint and see this, and that's coming from up there now, so I got to wait my eyes get ready to judge it.
Kevin, does this include salaries?
Yes, so if
is that in the personal services?
Yeah, so personal services is going to include everything to do with the cost of an employee, their salary, their insurance, workers' comp, Social Security, retirement.
The big increase in personal is this coming year due to the additional assistance you're going to have and the pay increases we've put out.
So you don't see any of the increases in here. That what you see in this budget is what you've already adopted.
So this is from last year. That was from the pay increases.
Right, and most of that increase came because we had to fund the increase in health insurance. So while there was a good example, I'm going to toggle back to electric. You can see we went from 349 to 498. One of the big caveats in personnel services there is Lee Baker was paid out of that.
Yeah.
And just to be forthright, Lee was a big chunk of that money. The other side of that is those employees also get their health insurance out of personnel services, and we had an 18.1% increase beginning January 1st. I don't recall the exact split between the employee raises and the health insurance increase, but it was almost a 2-to-1 difference, more on insurance than we gave in increases. As we stand right now, and those health insurance increases are dictated by the General Assembly, and as we sit right now, we've not heard that those are being discussed. When we sat here this time last year, we had heard that. So not expecting it, but you know, the thing is, be flexible. So, but we aren't giving you a proposed budget tonight, either.
Right.
Do you have a question?
No, it's just taking me a while to see it. My eyes ain't focused.
Do you need me to give you more light?
No, my wife says I need glasses, but I'm sure I don't.
I'm sure your wife's right.
I'm serious. I look up at that and look back down. It takes 10 to 20 seconds to get focused back in.
He does.
We'll do something. We need budget. I have to put some in the budget for meetings. That's what he was talking about. Okay, we'll do that for the rest of them.
Okay, is everybody else ready?
Hey, what is non-departmental cover?
So in the budget that you see right here, that 265 is where we put the expenditures to do the lease purchase.
Okay.
So when we bought vehicles this year, we have to fund three line items with that. You have to fund the revenue. When we borrow the money from the bank, you have to fund the expenditure of that money, and then you have to fund the debt service.
Okay. All right.
And then the $15,000 that's in personal services, that's a plug number or a bucket of money, if you will, that we used for raises within the employees that are in the utilities department.
Okay.
So I thought I would start us off with financial policies. You adopted this last year, and this is a long document, and I'm gonna send it out in this week's administrative report. I thought I'd save a little bit of paper by not printing it out. And the financial policies do a lot of things, but of the things that are most important to what we're talking about today, we talk about revenues, and the statement there says that we will raise enough revenue to pay for the service. So we should raise enough electric revenue to pay for electric, enough water revenue to pay for water, enough sewer revenue to pay for sewer, enough solid waste revenue to pay for solid waste. Where we almost keep up with that is sewer. Sewer is a money loser, so we make up for sewer by the surplus that we make on electric and water. And I'll show you that in a little bit more detail as we go.
Why do we have a surplus of electric and water?
Because you gotta cover sewer.
Okay.
And franchise fees and what goes into running the whole utility. So you have overhead that runs the whole utility that isn't assigned to any particular line.
So we
all
miss our boss because of what we're charging.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, and it'll become a bit more evident, I think, as you look at it.
If insisted.
If not, let me know.
I will.
And then the last of the three things I thought were most important is to show you the fund balance. The way we wrote it, or the way you adopted it, was that we will work to have about 5% of the annual operating, and we do that pretty good. These are what I would say guiding policies. They're policies you adopt. They're policies you can change anytime you want to. So looking at the current financial environment, I'll start at with the top box. The funding opportunities, there is still a lot of money at the state and the federal level for, particularly for electric and, particularly for water and sewer. So we're utilizing some of this. We don't have anything pending right now with the South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority, nor the State Revolving Loan Fund. When we sit here again next year, I expect we will, possibly out of both. We do have a grant pending with the SCIP program, which is on the top right of that box. And we have been awarded money through the Rural Development Fund. And we are using some other, I said additional federal agencies, but it's additional state agencies. I guess I got that over on the other side. For some smaller grants that we have, and I'll talk about those in a minute too. I put up last year's challenges to show you the difference between last year's, which are on the left, and this year's, which are on the right. Really, the environment is about the same this year as we had last year. However, we The threatened lawsuit from Seneca regarding the sewer authority has now been withdrawn from Seneca, so we don't have that as a challenge, because we really didn't know where that could end up taking us financially. However, something I put in there this year is the PMPA rate uncertainty and pending litigation. We are not in any of the lawsuits involving PMPA, but the outcome of some of those lawsuits that are pending, an outcome could affect us dramatically if it were to go one way rather than the other. It's nothing to worry about, because if it affects us, it'll be big and we'll deal with it then. It'll be in the hand of a judge, so there's really not a whole lot we can do.
Yeah, we just wait.
We just have to wait. And we've been waiting since, I think these lawsuits were filed, 2018, 2019?
Been what?
There may be a summary judgment coming up in April or May this year, but we hear that periodically and then there's not one. So. So the information on this slide comes from PMPA, and I share it because the data that you see on here is compiled from all 10 member cities. Now, we are by far the smallest participant in PMPA, but there's still good data there when you start to use it as benchmarks. I'm going to point to kind of two parts there. One is the area that's in the box where it says 21 and 22, and then the blue that's to the side that shows the range. Our debt service coverage is directly tied to the amount of money that we have in the bank versus what our operating budget is. I'm going to say this a number of times today. We have quite a bit of money in the bank because of the ARPA money. And we aren't just letting it sit there. We've got a lot of it programmed, but there's only so fast we can move to spend that money down. Hall Street is a great example of that, where we had that money for 9 months before we were able to actually get out and get construction going. So as we go through this review today, you'll see that most of that money is programmed one place or another. It's just a matter of us getting to that project and doing the project. However, while that money is in the bank, it shows very favorably on our financials. Days cash on hand, there's a number of things that go into that calculation. The CFO of PMPA, she has her way of calculating it. I'm going to show you my way of calculating it. Here's the numbers that she comes up with. She showed last year. Hello. She showed last year that we had 79 days cash on hand, and I had us calculated at 27. I could never figure out how she got to 79. This year she's got us at 71, which is still quite a bit more than I calculate. And that's very likely because I know our financials a bit better than she does. But still, her it's good data for you, because you can see how whenever she calculates us compared to others, where we fit in the range. And you can see down at the bottom where it says city transfer as a percentage of combined utility revenue, she calculated that at 7.24%. Our actual transfer is 5%. So when you're wondering, like, what's the difference there, it's a good question. It's because it's a judgment call based off the person doing the calculations. But again, good data for us to take in and look and see that when all that is scrubbed together in the same way by the same person, where do we bid at? All right, so this is one of my favorite slides. I'm not being sarcastic. I really enjoyed putting this together for you guys.
That's why I giggled.
So I'll just bring your attention to the blue box that is going vertical. Actual 2022. You can see it's got all of our funds in there combined, even though today we're just talking about the utility funds. And that's because when we do the audit, everything gets put in there together. And it would be very odd to talk about one without having the other there. So when you start at the top and you work your way down, you see the governmental funds, the solid waste funds, and the utility funds where we are now versus, and the actual for 2022. That's what the auditors just closed out for us when they gave us the audit in January versus where we were in 21. And a lot of that has to do, again, with the ARPA money. It's because it's sitting in the bank and it has a positive effect pretty much everywhere we turn in terms of calculating the cash we have on hand, the money we have in the bank, and a positive light on our utility system. What I'll draw you down to is the narrow blue box that's going horizontal, and that's the value of a day's worth of cash. So when you think about the city of Westminster and how much money do we need to operate per day, in 2022, it was $26,000 we needed to operate per day. When you calculate that based off our budget right now, we need about $39,000. So on my next slide, I'm going to show that number ticks up to 40, and that's again just because we take different things into consideration there. It's between that $39,000 and $41,000 that we need per day to operate. And because we have so many capital projects going on, that number is going to skew up. Once those projects are done, it's going to come back down. And you can see there, finally, based off the auditor's calculations, the days cash on hand for 22 is 69 days, not 71, which is what PMPA had calculated. And then it's at least contemplated to go down to 50. That is dependent on how much of the ARPA money that we spend. And I hate to keep throwing ARPA in there over and over, but it's a chunk of cash that sits out there and it skews the rest of the results. It's a godsend for us, for sure.
It is. Have you taken the number, taken the ARPA money out and see where we stand?
I have not.
If we didn't have it?
It's happier to leave it in.
Oh, I know it's happy to leave it in.
Because yeah. It's real money. It's in the bank.
Right.
I reviewed the bank reconciliations this morning. It's cash in the bank waiting for us to use. Mm-hmm. So it's appropriate that it be in the calculations.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, what were we looking at? Didn't we say that we want to be somewhere between 70, or where we want to initially, eventually be with 75 to 90 days?
We're looking to at least kind of land at 30,
right,
and then aim for 90 to 180.
Okay,
and so you can see that with the ARPA money, we land in that comfort zone. Will likely stay there for the next year or two while that money is there. But as we spend it down, we aren't doing anything else operationally to increase that day's cash on hand, except the footnote that I have up there where it says $121,000 budgeted as contingency. If we don't use that, then that goes into our day's cash on hand, and that actually helps build it up.
Okay.
So it's a small incremental approach. But if we don't take an incremental approach, then we would have to have a rate increase just for the sake of building that up.
Okay.
Well, you looked at me. So I wasn't sure. You got it?
Sure.
Okay. Any questions?
We got money in the bank.
Yep, good money. Good money in the bank. So if you, again, I left the 2021 numbers in here so you could see the difference between 21 and 22. And you can see, I'll point to you to the sewer system, Audrey especially. You see in 21, we had a deficit of about $11,000, but most of that was because the auditors, when they closed out, used money that we had from the RIA as grants.
Okay.
Or that deficit would have been well over $500,000.
Okay.
So when we get to this year and you're able to see, or when you get to 2022, you're able to see that deficit is a bit more real because the grant numbers aren't put in there.
So the surplus covers this deficit.
Yeah, so when you look at water and you see in 2022, the orange box at the bottom, you see the water, and we have a surplus of $625,000.
Right.
Some of that is going to cover the deficit that you have in the sewer.
I gotcha.
Because we operate this as a combined utility. Now, solid waste is not in our combined utility, but electric, water, and sewer are.
Okay.
Because we operate it as a combined utility, that's why it's okay if one of them is running less than what you receive, and one of them's running low. Because you are in effect saying we're going to combine, or combine, and we're going to look at them together. So you've got a little bit up, well, you've got two up and one down. Solid waste, which we'll talk about next time too, it goes in here, again, primarily because of the audit. It is a standalone, and you increased rates last year so that we could get it to the point of being able to fund itself. So we weren't using tax dollars to fund garbage collection. And I think this slide is starting to ferret that out and show you that we probably have done the right thing with that increase and may not need another.
Very good.
And I often put the footnotes in here with the audit page numbers that I pull this from. That is for you if you get to be extra geeky and want to go through it. It's also for me, so when I do this from year to year, I know where I pull those numbers from. So this is consistent for you and for me as we look at it. Utility transfer fee, you know, a minute ago I showed you what PMPA calculated it as. This is what it is, because we do the calculation. You can go to the line items in the budget, one on the utility side, one on the general fund side. We budgeted 5%. That's what our financial policy says that we'll do. And we anticipate bringing you a 2024 budget that has the same thing. In the past, they had kind of used utility transfers to balance the budget. We're not doing that. We're going to pull in the 5%.
That's what the 6, 7, 6.
Yeah, that's why you see some variation there.
Can you say that again? They used utility transfers to balance
budget? Yeah.
The general fund.
Yeah, the general fund.
They were transferring it to the general fund.
So when you start thinking about what do we put in our budget for next year, well, we start with the money that we owe.
That makes sense.
Good way to start there. Again, you have all of our debt service is on this schedule, and Kylie Carter has done a great job of actually putting it so that it calculates all the way out, I think, well into the 2040s. I didn't put that in here because it will change some as we go. Primarily, if you'll look just to the left of the box area where you see the actual 2022 under utility obligations, we had a utility bond that was for the water system. I think that's where we put in the AMI system. That is now, we have completed that bond obligation, which is great. That frees up that $300,000+ on the water, but also for the combined utility, so that we can use it for other things. I'm going to show you some of the other things that we're going to need to use it for in some of the additional slides. The Conserve Fund loan that we got to put in the variable frequency drives at the raw water intake, we've now closed that loan, so we will start paying debt service in 24. We did some utility lease purchases. Some of those hit in 23, more of them will hit in 24. That number is variable as you go across the years because some of the equipment is financed at different terms. So the pickup trucks are going to be financed at 3 years. The larger equipment, they may go up as many as 8 or 10 years. So it's going to be a little bit variable there.
Do we have any data yet on what the VFDs are going to save on the electrical?
No. And some of that is going to be skewed by the really extreme cold weather we had in December, because what happened during that time period is because as a city we were using so much water, those pumps ran almost constantly to keep refilling the tanks.
Right.
Normally it's not going to do that. We had some really high electric bills on those VFDs. Was only because they almost didn't stop running during that week and a half time period. But we will have that data. That will be something that we're required to report back to the state. Mm-hmm. So as we do, I'll make sure.
Well, that was the big push for putting those in. The projections from the company was that we would save, I don't remember now, but it was enough to pay that debt down in less than 10 years.
And I expect that will still be the case.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have the solid waste at the top, the general fund obligations at the bottom. You'll see this schedule again when we talk next time. And then the footnotes.
We're still paying down a lot of debt right there. Still,
yes, yeah, I think we're in very good shape the way we're managing. We're using the debt to leverage what we need today, but we're not over-leveraged. Mm-hmm. So contingency planning. You know, a minute ago we talked about what does it take to operate one day in the city of Westminster, and we had, you know, around that $39,000. Well, if you take and look at what is 1% of 100%, so we have what is 1% of our budget equal in 2023 on the utility side, it's about $40,000.
Can I back up for a second just for giggles so that I understand? When we create these terms, who creates these terms?
Usually they are given to us from the bank.
Okay.
The concert fund loan was given to us from the state.
Okay.
The state and the feds are typically going to give, you'll see really long terms in those. With the equipment that we buy, I will make contact with the bank and I'll say, like on the police vehicles, I said we're buying two new police vehicles, I'll say 3 years. Because that's about the average life of a police vehicle. If you call them on a garbage truck, they did that one at 10 years. Knuckle boom, they did it 5. Usually they'll give you a little bit of latitude, but they know what the useful life of that equipment is. They want to be able to reclaim it. If we were to default on it in year 5, they want to be able to sell it with at least 5 more years worth of useful life.
I understand. Thank you.
So the utility contingency planning, the reason we have this slide is as we put the budget together for you that we'll propose to you, we will vacillate somewhere between 3 and 5% of the electric, water, and sewer revenue on net water and sewer revenue. And that's just to give you an idea of how much that is. It's gone up significantly from what we had last year. $10,000 is a big jump for 1 year. So moving on to the USDA RD loan. This is to kind of bring some things really and put in the forefront of your mind. $8.7 million is the principal amount. It may change a little bit as we get to closing it. It could go up, it could go down. It's not going to vary. It may vary within $50,000 up or down. It's not going to vary much more than that. They give us a 40-year term at 2.65% interest. They really don't care that they're giving us something beyond useful life. It's a government program loan, and they typically extend the terms out way beyond. I didn't know you could dance that good.
You?
I think Jimmy had a pretty good groove going there, Miss May. Jimmy had a pretty good groove going with your music. So particularly the Rural Development Group, they're going to give us money that goes a long time out, primarily because they're trying to give us money without giving it to us, if that makes sense.
You could tell me I'm asking too many questions. How are interest rates calculated?
They usually come from the bank.
But what's it based on? Is it based on our... good payment history, or?
So it can be. If you go back, I'm going to go back up to this schedule right here. When we buy that equipment, the bank is going to give that to us. They look at our financials and see that we have the ability to pay it back.
I see.
So we aren't getting probably what they'll call a basis point, which is in the tenth spot difference in interest compared to anybody else, because they know that we have the ability to pay it back and we've got a good repayment history. when it comes to the federal and the state, they're setting those terms really because they're trying to hand that money out and get you to use it.
Okay.
I don't doubt that the money coming from the bank probably is indexed somewhere off the Federal Reserve. But this is not long-term mortgages or real estate. This is personal property. So I think it's a little bit different.
Okay.
So going down to box number two, once the loan is closed, we actually don't pay anything back on the $8.7 million until the loan is closed, and we don't close the loan until we've completed construction.
Wow.
So that could still be another year and a half before we close the loan. Right now, a minute ago, the reason I paused to check my phone is Andrew is working right now to try and get some of the stuff that the RD folks want to see so we can get this project bid as soon as possible. I wish we were coming to you today with bids, but we're not. Some of that is due to the SCDOT kind of drug their feet on our permits.
Right.
Did they get that?
It's, they have it, yes.
Okay.
And Andrew, we don't have their permit yet, but they are reviewing it.
Oh, so we still don't have
it? We still don't have it, but it's being reviewed, which before it wasn't even being reviewed.
Right.
So. Coming down to give you a sense of what we'll owe about $29,000 a month, which equates to $352,000 a year. There are two things that they make us, the feds will make us do. They'll make us establish a debt service reserve fund, which is money that you actually hold to the side in the event that you have a bad year. You can dip into that to make your payment. Typically, they make, if we were working in the private capital world, they would make you fund that up front. But because it's a rural development program, they let you fund it over the first 10 years, which is generous in many, many ways. The other thing they will make us fund is a short-lived asset reserve. And essentially, they're saying $94,000 we have to set aside every year to use to maintain our system. Now, we get to use that year that we set it aside to maintain our system.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just sitting there not being used. They want to see us budget every year at least that amount to go into maintaining our system, which we do that now.
Right.
We will just have to document.
Right. It don't have to be designated to the construction, new construction that we've put in, just our system in general.
Yeah, they actually want you to use it to maintain the system, not for new stuff. So if you get to box three, so for each of the first 10 years, if you get over to the circle to the right, we'll need to budget $481,240 a year for the repayment of that loan. Keeping in mind, 94 of that we get to use during that year. And then for years 11 through 40, $446,000.
Okay.
South Carolina Infrastructure Investment Program, the SCIP program. A lot of good acronyms in here. I'm just now realizing.
I would say that's SIP instead of SCIP, but that's just me.
Well, the folks at the Rural Development call it SCIP, because I would agree with you. I don't think the C should sound like a K, but that's how they say it. So,
okay.
When in Columbia.
Sure.
We applied for roughly $5 million for sewer improvements. The RIA covers 80%. We have to cover 20%. You can see that the amount we have to cover is nearly $1 million. We will have to pull from our ARPA money and from some of our reserves to be able to make that match. But look at the two bullets that are over to the right. The announcement isn't expected to come until sometime at the end of March of this year. Then construction very likely will not start until, or that the permitting and the design won't start almost for another year, with roughly 18 months to get it done. So this isn't something that we have to have next year, but we need to begin planning for that now, because we don't have $1 million just laying around that we can match that with. We'll need to be very purposeful, and the budget that we're going to bring you is going to show you where we're starting to put that money aside and identify it to be able to be used for a match.
So Troy's already run the estimates on that project?
Yes.
Where's the majority of it going to be?
Dr. John's Road. Kevin, do you remember? It's primarily he did it by the linear feet. There are a couple of other roads that are not 123 but are south of 123.
There's Johnson, south side. In just a second, I'll tell you.
And yeah, we don't need a detail. I was just wondering where the majority of it was going to be.
Yeah, most of it's to the south of 123. So the importance of showing you this is planning for that grant. We could find out before you have to adopt the budget that we didn't get it, which would be very sad. But that means we wouldn't be setting aside $1 million to match it. We'll be setting aside $1 million to fund the other projects that we need to do for sewer. So. And I left the word out of here. I noticed this just minutes ago. It should say South Carolina Emergency Management Division. I got it right at the bottom of the page. I missed the name at the top. I apologize. We've applied for backup generators. The scale of things, this is a pretty small grant. The match that we need to come up with is probably going to be over 30, because I expect the dollar amounts to actually be higher than the 286. I feel pretty comfortable we're going to get this grant. They've actually set aside the 286 for us. We're waiting for final approval to come from them. If when we go out to bid and construction, the four generators come back and they're higher than the 286, we have some flexibility to go back and ask for additional funds. And so those are the four locations where we have the generators set up to go. And if we get the grant as soon, and this is a rolling grant. A lot of the other grants have time periods where you have to apply and they have to notify you. This one operates on a rolling basis, so we could find out tomorrow, or I could find out while we're sitting here that we've received it. Again, I feel pretty comfortable about it. Richard Tucker has done a great job helping us with this, along with Paul Davis, who we've been using as a electrician.
Oh, it would be exciting if you got the news, like, right now.
I know. I'll jump up and do high five if I can get it.
Ross, just your knowledge, the sewer is South Isanoga and Pump House and South Spring and Green Streets.
Okay. Thank you. So we talk about our capital projects fund. There are three sources of revenue for that capital project fund. The first is the money that we receive from the feds through the state. That's about that $1.3, a little less than $1.3 million. $1.3 is Oconee County's allocation that they've committed to us. That's for water projects only. And then the third bucket of funds is the Oconee County C funds. And we get those on a project-by-project basis. There's no guarantee, but I'm going to focus on C funds for just a minute. We applied for and received the $387,000 to do sidewalk improvements. You all have kind of been in that pain with the rest of us as we waited. It really seemed like it took a long time to get all that done, and some of that had to do with concrete. The components in concrete and waiting for that to all kind of make its way back through the supply chain. We have paid the final invoice for that. So it came in a little over what we were approved. I will find out from the seed fund committee if they will cover that or if we have to cover that. If we have to cover it, it's about $3,000. We'll be all right. The next project that we'll go for, I was actually ready to go this morning, but they canceled the C Fund committee, is to do road resurfacing. And I have a list of those projects I'll put in my admin report so you can see where those street segments are. Troy Rozier's group helps us with this as well. That amount, as we're looking at it today, is, you know, just a little under $820,000. And I don't know, I want to say something around 10 small road segments in town. The city doesn't own a lot of streets, so there really isn't a lot there to ask for. Once we complete this project, we'll go back again. C-Fund money we can also use once we complete our downtown master plan and very likely go after state grants or federal grants to do streetscape improvement. You can use C-Funds as your matching money. So we're going to endeavor to get this money for road resurfacing and close it out as quick as we can, because I think strategically the timing will align with what we could then apply to the state to go for. If you think of Wahala and the improvements they've done on their main drag in there, I don't know if that's actually Main Street or not, they use C funds as their matching funds when they did some of their streets. And Sammy Dixon knows that that's what I hope we are able to do. So, staying with the Capital Projects Fund, just for another slide or two, of the money that we received directly to the city, you can see the group of projects or the group of expenditures that we've already spent. The water service line truck went a little over what we had budgeted, but the rock hammer and the trailer for the Mini X came in under. So a little bit this way, a little bit that way. The RIA Dr. John's Road waterline rehabilitation, we applied to the Rural Infrastructure Authority for that grant, and we were not awarded that grant. So in your agenda packet for tonight at your council meeting is to actually take that out of the two revenue lines and the expenditure line and just let that money return to, in essence, the fund balance of your ARP, your capital projects fund. That is money that we can use to begin funding the match that we need for the SCIP program, or the SCIP grant, should we get. You see these other projects that are listed down below. It's not that we don't intend to do them. It's just I don't know if the timing will be such that they're completed before we get to the end of June. All those things, except for the Upcountry Fiber, I don't think that we're going to need to put any money into that. That is being funded right now wholly by Blue Ridge as they put it in our downtown. I thought that we may have to go for a grant to get them to do that, and which turned out we did not have to.
The Fed's giving them enough to do that with.
What's that?
I said the Fed's giving them enough to do that with.
When we developed this budget last year, I thought we were, and as I was learned from them, we thought we would have to apply for it, and we would have to have a match.
Yeah.
So that was nice that we didn't have. And then on the water plant improvements that you see there, it's not that we don't need that money for the water plant. We actually need that plus some. It's just that we're using the county ARP money first, and because we have a small staff, we're doing one project at a time. So, again, it's just timing.
Well, we just keep reminding the county the ARPA money they give us is helping their taxpayers outside the city.
Yeah. So 2/3 of our water customers are outside the city. So I think that is important.
So when they give us money, don't feel like they're giving us money.
Yeah, that benefits constituents that do not reside inside the city.
Right.
And then as a reminder, what the county agreed to fund, these are the projects that are listed there. And I actually have more reimbursements to submit. My guess is we're probably about 2/3 of the way. We've spent about 2/3 of that money, but the way we have to do is spend it and then ask to be reimbursed. And I just did the reimbursement actual. And I didn't realize it had been since August since I submitted that last one, even though Rebecca sends me everything I need as I need to do it. Again, that's her trying to keep me in line. I just won't listen. Okay, so I'm down all the way. So we're down toward the end here of things I just want you to have in your head, if you don't mind.
Good luck with that.
What'd you say?
I said, good luck with that. We got room on our feet.
I don't expect that we are going to come to you and ask for any rate increases this year.
Okay.
The The Seneca Journal ran an article this morning written by Norm Canada, who's actually not in the room right now, so I can make fun of Norm just for a second. And it said that the new rate structure for OJRSA was going to cause a sewer rate increase for its customers. That is true in Seneca. That is not the case for us.
We saw this coming, right?
Yes.
We that knew. Was reported at the member meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? We
yes.
talked about this. Okay. Yeah.
So if you have folks in Westminster ask you, does that mean us? That does not mean Westminster.
Okay.
We will actually fare a little better with the new rate structures.
Which was the intention?
The intention was for that, yes. And we knew, and Seneca knew when we sat and we agreed to those rate increases, it was going to make their rates go up. We knew we were going to fare better and we wouldn't have to raise our rates. But when you read the article, it doesn't get into that fine point on it. But I wanted you all to know that. And we talked about that at City Hall in case anybody came in complaining.
Yeah.
So no rate increase is expected. And the mayor can tell you that PMPA, there's been a little bit of a dynamic in the voting alignment on the board. And it was a 5-5, and now it's gone 6-4, and we're a part of the 4 and not the 6. So I don't know if that will mean a rate increase coming by January. It could. It wouldn't have gotten passed in the 5-5 group. It could now with the 6-4 group. Again, you could spend all your time worrying about what happens at PMPA or just choose not to. Just be aware. We will budget for you a 5% franchise fee. We already talked about that. We will budget for you a contingency that ranges between 3% and 5%, and then we'll report to you what that percentage is. We'll begin to prepare financially for the USDA rural development loan. We'll begin to prepare financially for the SCIP grant. That one's got the more immediate impact than the RD loan. The other grant matches, such as the backup generators, we probably are going to try and build some flexibility into this budget. We've got some pretty significant capital needs in sewer and water still. And we've not identified an actual grant program that we can go after for all these, but that's only because we haven't had time to do the work.
Right.
So as we do that work over the next 6 months, 6 to 9 months, we'll know those funding sources. So RIA may be one of those, the SRF may be one of those, the USDA RD may be one of those. So I'll say all that and say stay tuned.
Okay.
So point number 7, maintain flexibility for additional grant opportunities. That's what that means. Meaning we aren't going to try and program every dollar that we have coming.
Sure.
Pressures continue to be operating in personnel budgets. I don't know yet if we're going to propose to you a 3 or a 5% personnel increase. That inflationary amount has stayed high. I think you did a great thing this past year when you passed increases on to police and fire. I think that helped stop some of the hemorrhaging we were doing with staff. But it's always a what have you done for me lately in that regard. So again, last year the bulk of the personnel costs came because we had to absorb the health insurance increase.
Yeah.
And we were mandated by the state to do that. So again, I can tell you as your administrator, I feel comfortable with what we did last year and where we stand right now. And again, that's only as good as what we do, what our next step is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you'll have, it's in your hands to decide once we get there.
In the meeting in Columbia before lunch, the session before lunch, when they did the legislative update, didn't they say they did not expect the huge help insurance increase? Didn't they say
this,
that?
This year, yeah, this
did, okay.
It was last year.
It was big last year. Point number 9, because we have a new rate structure at OJRSA, there's some logistical things that we will do. as your staff, we'll do the best we can at communicating with the customers on how that may change. For them, it shouldn't really, no one may know anything. It may just be what we do. But we've got to get in and see what it looks like before I can say equivocally or unequivocally that there is no impact. Meaning just in timing and everything else, there won't be a cost increase for the service. It'll just be how we put it together.
But it should simplify things for us because we'll be billing on time.
Yes.
We'll be billing on time from here on instead of estimated amounts.
Yeah.
So that's going to make it better for
us. It will benefit us because we will stop paying for inflow and infiltration that occurs on the sewer authority's lines.
Yes.
Which we pay for now. Point number 10, logistical preparations for credit card payments. So you authorized the staff to begin collecting the fee that we've been absorbing for credit card payments. There's a lot of logistical concerns, and when we talked about that back in October, Rebecca, Kylie, and I talked with our financial software provider, and there's a whole lot of stuff that we have to change and work with them to do different. So I'm just telling you that on the staff side, there's some work to do. And then item number 11 is logistics and managing projects. Today, Kevin, Terry, and Taylor are here. These are busy men. In addition to everything else we have that we normally do day in, day out, now comes managing these projects.
But how much do they sleep? I mean, these guys, they sleep a lot. At night, they don't have to sleep.
They're getting more sleep. I would say
we go to a 12-hour work day, 6-12.
I would say your electric guys are getting a little more sleep than they used to. Am I right, Taylor? I can't really say the same for water and sewer.
But we're getting there. We're getting there.
We make adjustments as we can.
And we do want to thank you for the freeze out of whatever year we were in with
that. Yeah, the great freeze out of 2022. Yeah.
We really appreciate you.
And then last thing, are there any questions from you?
We voted to buy that rock hammer and that mini X. Mm-hmm. Since we voted to buy that, do we get to use it some?
Have we used it?
Do we get to use it, council member?
You have to go through OSHA training.
Never mind.
I think you have to go to. I think they conduct that in Fairbanks, Alaska, in February.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first come on council, we did not have nowhere near as many projects going lined up. We it's nothing like what we see now. So I'm excited about it. We just keep moving forward. I like it.
I like it too. I'm excited.
Yeah, and part of what we're going to give you as a budget is a capital improvements program where you're going to see all these projects. As I was driving into work this morning, I was wondering what that dollar amount could end up being. It could be as much as $100 million in capital projects.
Yeah.
It's not all that need to be done in the next year, but what your staff is doing a great job at is going out, identifying the problems, coming up with solutions, and starting to assign dollar amounts and to it so that we can begin preparing for it. I tell them frequently, you tell me what your problem is and how much money you need, and then let me go find the money. It's not that easy, but the harder work is in them identifying the issue and coming up with the solution than it is in finding the federal or state money that we can use to actually make the improvement, and they're doing a great job.
Well, all of y'all are. And since you have so much downtime, one thing I was going to ask you, you know the spreadsheet that we got Chris to do for the sewer authority on the capital projects?
Yes.
You think we could do something like that?
Well, that's what we have.
You have one where we could look at and try to keep track? It's not that we need to know the details, but it encourages everybody around this table to see the progress that makes. That's what
we have begun working on that already.
Okay.
As a staff.
I think that'd be really good. It simplifies it on that little spreadsheet. You can see right where we're at and what we're doing. And it looks good that we have so many projects going on. It really does.
So I did put on here, you may go home now. You know, you can do whatever you may, what you like. But we do have a council meeting.
Well, somebody's got to have questions. They're not speaking. I'm just waiting. Somebody's going to have to ask something.
I asked my questions along the way.
Everybody,
I didn't follow instructions.
Well, no, it was designed for you to ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, quick, that's good.
I think it looks great. I think it's exciting. We're doing a lot of good things that need to get done.
Third meeting is when it starts getting hairy.
Your third meeting is where it gets... No, your fourth meeting.
Fourth meeting.
Because you have two expenditure reviews, then a revenue review.
Yeah, but see, by the time you get the revenue, you already know these. And you're sitting there going, oh, no.
I think you guys last year probably struggled more with your hospitality tax than any other thing. And those have come in and... The staff's vetting them to make sure that we've got everything before we send them out. And once we know we've got everything, we'll give you as much time to plan as possible.
Can we make sure that all of the organizations have their 501c3s? Is that part of the
process? That's what we're working on now.
Yeah. The way you pass the application, it's on them to give that to us. And so we know what their request is, but we're waiting on the time.
So they have, okay. That's right. Thanks for that reminder. Somebody was really smart about taking care of that at council.
Thank y'all. That's very simple. It's good. It's clear.
Hey, look at you keeping that to under an hour.
Look at that. I told you.
We didn't even start at 4.
Mm-hmm. I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Thank y'all.
I can't do it.